Welcome to the Open Doors Podcast. I'm Janine.
I'm Marissa.
I'm Yvette.
This is a place where we would like to welcome you into our stories of rising and of falling, of laughing and of crying, of loving and of losing. We aren't perfect. We definitely don't have it all together. We don't even fully understand, but we do have each other. And because of that, we have an open door. Hi guys, welcome back.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 3 of our Advent series.
Hello.
Yellow.
As you can tell, James has returned again.
Yeah. How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah, I'm really excited about today.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, if you guys can't tell, we've recorded several episodes in one day.
I was trying to trick our listeners.
I don't think it's going to be possible.
Hey,
when they
we are not exact.
We are wearing the same clothes.
I'm very joyful right now.
As you can tell, yes, we are ready for our episode of joy.
Yeah. Joy. Yeah. I feel like the joy episode, we can connect it a little bit to the one that we talked about with fear and peace, because I think that the line still exists.
Yeah.
So I think that there's that line in between where you have the peace. And then I think when you go above the line, you're stepping into the joy, which is really like the best place to be. And then when you go underneath, you're falling into a little bit of maybe sadness, maybe some despair, and maybe that's where the lies come. But I think the thing to remember is we really want to remain in that line of peace. I think that's the best place to be. But when you have those moments of joy, when you have those moments of just pure happiness, I think it's important to embrace them, because they're not going to last.
No.
I mean, even with the prayer meeting, mm-hmm. it takes some time to get that like joy, that freedom to actually stand up and praise and shout and even dance like my mom and Jose do.
Jose! One day soon.
Yeah.
Another one is on the way.
Yeah. It's true. I just feel like the joy is, I remember like that line, that up and down, the song that came to me just before when we started talking about this episode was Lauren Daigle, I think, and she says, we're not the sum of our highs and our lows. That's where we are. We're in between. And I think when we're in the low, because our brains work like fixers, it's almost easier to be there in a little bit of a way, because you're like, okay, well, I can fix this. I can get better and like work my way up. And then when you're in the joy, you're almost like afraid to be there. Because you're like, what happens when it ends, you know? And then finding that balance and learning, once you have that firm foundation that we were just talking about in the other episode, having that firm foundation is like, okay, I'm going to really live in this joy and I'm going to be down here in the despair. What can I learn here? And then love the middle too. It's just like loving all the parts and like flowing in and out of them.
When you're in a part of joy, and it's obviously going to be temporary, and you're going to go into that sadness at one point, but you could also have that hope that you're going to go yeah. back into that joy.
Yes.
A sentence that I like that my friend told me last week, and I've been thinking about this sentence the full week, she said that joy and the pure happiness is when the past, the present, and the future connect into a same moment, because there is no any place where you want to be. And I was like, what moments I've been feeling like that? Like, and it reminded me to a TV show that I was watching last year, and the final scene was she saying it was the first time that I didn't want to be in anywhere else. She just wanted to be there in that moment. And I said, that's joy. That has to be a pure happiness, that you just don't want to be in the past. You don't want to be in the future. You just want to be in that exact moment in the present. So everything is just like connected in that moment. And I think we don't have a lot of these moments, for at least in, like for me, but because my mind is my worst enemy. So my mom used to tell me like, You will never be happy, because there is something, there is always something. You always create something that is not allowing you to be full happy. And I was like, that's true.
And it is true. And it's also not always true either, because I've been watching you and talking to you and spending time with you these past couple months. And I've noticed that you've started to notice that there are those moments when now you can live in that present moment, when you can come to that realization that, like, okay, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be high. I don't need to be, you know, feeling all the great feels today. I'm okay with being here. And then there are those other real moments where you fall down into the sadness, into the despair, into the discouragement, and are able to identify it though. And it's such a switch for all of us, like, to come to that realization that I don't have to be perfect all the time. And our feelings, our emotions, they're going to be all over the place our whole entire lives. But the realization that the present moment, the now, is where we actually are, is, I think, life altering for anybody. Because the future, you know, James mentioned in the last episode, that is the devil's playground. It is where he can say to you, well, this is what your future is. This is what your future isn't. And the past is just a reminder. If we're going to go into the past, we should be going to the past with appreciation.
Amen.
What are those moments from your past that are beautiful? What are those moments from your past that, like I think about, like, my first Christmas with my oldest son. And then I think about the first Christmas with my daughter. And then I think about the first Christmas with James. Every one of those stands out as moments of appreciation. There are so many moments of appreciation that we don't see. And I think maybe that's what we all need to start thinking of more. Because, like we all said, the brain wants to fix. Those moments of appreciation get hidden. Let's find them.
Yeah. Oh, so beautiful.
I like that you said that, because about the past, I think that we rush in life and we stuck a lot in the bad times and in the sadness, but then in the joy, it's like we don't even stop to appreciate that moment. We just rush. And then when you don't have it anymore and you start remembering, it's like, oh, that moment. Oh, that we are missing, like, to be real present. So we can just appreciate the joy. Even in the sadness, that is joy. If you just stop and, like, stop and you are just there, real and in present, you will see that joy is always there.
Yes.
But sometimes it's hidden.
Yes.
I feel like once you give that, give up that control that you're trying to, you know, control everything in your life, you're trying to control, I don't know, the illusion of fear and the illusion of control and this illusion of perfection, that you're trying to be perfect and you're trying to control everything, you're kind of bounding yourself. Mm-hmm. And once you finally let God, you know, break those chains, break those things that are bound to you, that are holding you down, it's going to set you free. It's going to make you rise up and it's going to give you joy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think what I've learned too is that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness is temporary pleasure and joy is internal. It's, like you said, it's constantly present.
Like a state.
It's a state. Yeah, it's I don't want to say like a way of life, but being able to find the joy in all of those moments. And, you know, it has been really amazing to just share moments of appreciation and moments of the joy. Because when you say that, I've experienced that, you know, us working together and sharing this journey of, yeah, my mind always goes to the parts, you know, looking at pictures for a specific, just something specific for me is when I look at pictures, I would look and sometimes I feel like pictures could be like a false sense because you, especially social media, like you look at someone's like beautiful family picture and you don't see the struggles. You don't see the everyday. You just see this beautiful picture. For me, when I would look at pictures of my own life, I would always think of negative things. So I'd be like, oh, that's when that happened, or that's when that really hard thing was going on. Or yeah, I look happy, but that was really happening behind the scenes. And now it's like, I want to look differently at pictures. I want to look at pictures with the joyous moments of like, where did that smile come from? That smile wasn't fake, you know? Or is it a picture of my family? Or is it a picture of a memory or you and I going to a concert together? Like all of those little things. And once you start talking about it, it's kind of like gifts. It's kind of like the tiny miracles. Once you start talking about it and really sharing it with people, I can't stop seeing all those little memories of appreciation and then start experiencing them in the present moment with the hope that they're just going to keep coming.
Amen to that. I think we are always waiting for the joy. Like we think that everything has to be perfect to feel that joy. Oh, when I have this fixed, I'm going to be happy, or I'm going to feel that joy. When I don't have this and I can finally pay that, or I can finally travel to this country, or I finally have a boyfriend, or I finally get married, or I finally. So it's like perfection. We are constantly disappointed because we are waiting for things to fill us. So we are missing the main point is that that's what it's not. Really hidden joy. It's just that we are blind sometimes and we are focusing on other things and we are waiting for them to arrive. But if we just like turn around and we said, okay, what am I having right now in the present that is just already filling me and giving me joy, then you will see it. It's not hidden. It's just that we are just seeing to another place, to other things, instead of joy that is already there.
I think you both kind of said it too. You were talking about Matthew baking cookies and how even though it was like a disaster, the oven wasn't working, there was still joy to be found in that moment. And you were talking about the joy of friendship and connection when you're in a bad time or having a hard time and someone's crying on your shoulder. That's when the joy of friendship is there. And it's being able to see that. Yeah, just experiencing it and knowing that it's always attainable.
And you're not fighting to get out of something. It's like you're not like trying to escape. You're just allowing yourself to live there because it's just living in that moment of truth. So like your friend is upset and they're crying and they're sharing their heart with you. And I think when you're sharing those moments with people and you're actually just kind of listening to them and like entering into it with them instead of fixing it and saying, okay, let's just make this better. Just listening to them and letting them know like, no, I'm here with you and I'm listening to you and your story matters. And that really does hurt. I think that builds up the person where they're at instead of feeling whatever happened, they're starting to feel this connection to you. And then the connection to you somehow mystically moves the, maybe it was a rejection or a disappointment that they were upset about, but that kind of takes like a backspace to the appreciation of what your friendship actually is. And I think that's what real friendship does anyways. It builds connections. It builds the ability to talk to somebody and to listen to them. You're not trying to fix your friend and make your friend like, you know, another something. You're just being there with your friend. And I think that builds joy.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between saying like, if you're in the despair, if you're in the sadness, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to be. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that. And we're not saying in the moment of sadness that someone's going to be like, enough of being sad, find the joy. Like, look, no, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that joy builds and joy is a state and joy is a part of your foundation. So in the sadness, you can be in the sadness and stay there. And then once you move out of it, you'll remember the joy of having a friendship there. You remember the joy of connection.
I find the part where friends try to, well, I shouldn't say friends, when people try to fix you and they're trying to turn you into something else, they're trying to perfect you and their perception of perfection. And sometimes that even leads to more sadness because sometimes you're like, what if I can't reach that perfection? Mm-hmm. What if I can't reach that expectation?
And it's not who you necessarily are. Like, I'm not you, you're not me. And a lot of times, and this is just humanity, and we're not, that's just who we are. If we see somebody else in a state of like unrest, if they're in despair or if they're in sadness, sometimes that sadness and despair scares us. Well, what if that's my problem then? What if I become like that? And then our parts who want to fix everything come out and they're like, okay, let's just make sure that we fix them right now because if they're not fixed, what if we can't be fixed? And then before you know it, you have this snowball effect of like, this person's never going to attain to your level of perfection. You're not even at your own level of perfection that you're trying to use to fix the person instead of coming to them from a perspective of just listening and just going beside them and just understanding how they feel in that moment. And then building this connection of just friendship doesn't, like you said, it doesn't even have to be friendship. It's just, I think sometimes fear, that secret little liar, comes out and just tries to, you know, fix everybody. The second I start fixing, I know I'm in deep trouble. And believe me, I I have no problem. Like, I could even see myself. I just saw a little part of me, like, just jump up and get the notepad out and the pen and be like, okay, let's fix the problem right mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. Because we want everything to fall into place exactly as it should be. There should be no bumps in the road, people. Yeah. Everybody's yeah. perfect.
And I think, as the same as I said with love, I think joy is also a decision. It's your decision to put joy in everything that you do, even if it's traveling or if it's just going to the grocery store. You can decide of putting joy in everything that you do. If it's a tiny, it's just a tiny moment, or if it's something amazing, you know, you have the ability to say, okay, no, I'm going to put joy in this rainy gray day. It's Monday. I don't want to go to work. I'm going to put joy in that. I'm going to put joy while I drive the car. I'm going to put joy in how I say good morning. So I think it's also like a decision. What you said about the lie, it reminds me when I was in Spain, a person told me, oh, you are a really sad person. And I tell you something, I start to believe that. Mm-hmm. I was crying mm-hmm. a lot. I was having a bad day. And I start to believe that, oh, maybe, yeah, I'm a sad person who is going to want to be with me or spend the life or moments with me if I'm just a sad person, you know. And I start to believe that till I found Jesus and I start working with you, Janine. I started to think like, yeah, maybe one part of me likes the sadness and I'm comfortable with the sadness because I've been in that for a long time because I didn't know how to put joy there or how to find the light. And now I'm starting. So that is also a joy that I can put in that side of part of me. So I'm not a sad person. I'm just a young girl mm-hmm. that yeah. I'm just struggling with things sometimes and I'm sometimes sad, but now I'm just starting to know how to put, you know, like a little light of joy in those moments though.
The sad part, the people calling you sad, like a sad person, mm-hmm. that isn't your identity. Your yeah. identity isn't a sad person. It isn't even an actor, but rather it's a child of God. Mm-hmm. And I remember my old math teacher, he always told me, he said the same exact thing as you. He told our class that we always got to find that joy and that way to have fun in any situation, no matter where we are. If we're in a concert and no one's dancing, get up and dance.
Mm-hmm. Be the joy.
Yeah.
And I think I think you can see the authenticity in somebody when it's actually authentic joy and it's just somebody trying to be what they're not. And it's okay to try because, you know, if you are really sad and you're trying to seek that joy, I'm not, you know, judging anybody for that. But I remember I was doing my student observations and I was observing a teacher who was teaching a high school class of, I think it was juniors or seniors, and there was just this beautiful presence about her. She was very calming and I can tell inside that she had authentic joy. And all she said to the students was, "Happy Thursday, everybody." And I remember when I observed her again, she said the same thing, "Happy Tuesday, everybody." A simple statement like that started the class, but you could feel the real joy coming out of her. It didn't matter what was going on at home. It didn't matter who was in front of her. Like, she just shared her joy and it led the class that way. And I remember it just really stuck with me.
Yeah, she was staying in that present moment.
Yeah.
I have an image right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have watched Inside Out.
Yes.
If not, you have to.
I was thinking about the movie the whole time.
Yeah, I was thinking about the movie all the time because I love the part where sadness and joy are actually fighting against one each other. And joy is like, no, 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 because everything has to be perfect. Everything, she has to be happy, you know, whatever, whatever. And sadness is like, I can't do this anymore. I can, you know. And I love the end of the movie, the part when they touch the memory and they touch like Riley's soul together. And the color is mixed between blue and yellow. It's like, and they fusionate both of them, sadness and joy. And it becomes Riley, true self. And I understood that I'm not going to have a life without sadness or without joy. But what about if I'm in the middle of in between them, in the line that we said that it's in the middle, and I just hold both hands and I hug them at the same time? What about if instead of just seeking one and trying to avoid the other one, that's fake, that's a lie. What about if we do like Inside Out and we start to becoming friends of all these emotions and we start to just walk in the middle of them, holding their hands at the same time and becoming this beautiful mixed gift called humanity, I guess.
Yeah, that makes me think of my grief, if I'm honest. I remember the first time I really had like a good belly laugh, and it was almost like I felt guilty. Like, I'm not supposed to laugh. Like, I'm grieving. My husband passed away. How could I laugh again? You know, how could I feel joy again? And then when I felt the joy again, I just kind of expected all the sadness to go away. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I learned to really live in the blend of the two of them that then I was truly living. And I was happy sometimes and I was sad sometimes, but there was joy like deep within. And isn't that the, like, I'm thinking of like the mysteries, the rosary mysteries, like that's why there's so many different ones: joyful, sorrowful, glorious. Luminous, glorious.
Yeah. Like, but like in the movie, Riley is just living, like really living when they are all working all together in the same measure. And exactly. When sadness is working, joy is also there exactly. With sadness. But they are allowing Riley to be sad, but with joy too. Joy is always there too. And this, in the second movie, she's starting to have anxiety too. So she's human, but they start working and she's like truly living when they are all in the same valence and they are all value and they all have their space, but the main one is joy. Joy is always like surrounding all of them, you know, like if it was kind of this Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit joins everything, you know, it's like around us and it's what we ask for. Just feel me, Holy Spirit, come and fill this room. It's like this energy, this bright light that fill us. So that will be for me joy, like, but the Holy Spirit always fill the room when we are sad. That's what we ask for it. But we are not hiding that we are sad. We are sad, but just please fill me also with the Holy Spirit. Please also fill me with joy. It's like a, you know, good cover.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. And I think it's real too. And I think it's important when you're in those moments and you're experiencing those emotions, because emotions are high and they're low and they're all over the place. And that's why the balance of them all is really beautiful and really necessary. I think that it's important to remember that we're not identified by our emotions. They don't make me something, and they don't make me something that I'm not. It's that ability to stay true to, like, okay, I already know who I am, and to accept. It's that self-acceptance. I think when you have that, it opens you up to when those moments of real true sadness do come, the joy can still be sprinkled in. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does. He is everlasting. It's the essence of God that just kind of dwells in us at all times. And I think it's the idea, just like you want to invite joy, just invite Jesus, invite that Holy Spirit to come. We do it all the time at the prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. Come, Holy Spirit, just come. Fill us with your light, fill us with your revelation, fill us with your truth. And that's ultimately what sets everybody free.
Yeah.
Is that ability to invite that Spirit into every moment. Inside Out is fantastic. It does a great job of showing the reality of what goes on inside of us. And if one part really starts to dominate, it's just trying to help. You know, those parts of us, they're just trying to help. Yeah. They're just trying to do everything right to make everything perfect. But that's the problem. They're like perfectionists. Yeah. So it's like that kindness, that gentleness, that compassion is really important in order to feel that freedom.
Yeah.
And that's where the fluidity comes from.
Yeah, exactly. For me, we are this beautiful rainbow, full of colors, full mm-hmm. of emotions, but surrounded with this beautiful light, joy, or Holy Spirit. But I like it because the Bible also like connect the rainbow with God, the presence of God. And I like to see us as rainbows mm-hmm. or this mix of colors that will be emotions, their experiences and everything. But they are always surrounded by this beautiful light. Jesus, Holy Spirit, joy, mm-hmm. call it whatever you want. Just make sure that you decide to put that light in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It really is. And maybe this is like a good place for us to kind of bring this episode to a close. I think that we've really spoken on all of the different topics. Our miracles are going to be a little bit different this week. Our miracle this week is a miracle that we all experience together. And I think that we might need a little bit of extra time to actually fully share on that miracle. So we all ended up going to Mass together. Well, James wasn't with us, but the three of us got to go to Mass. And it was on Thanksgiving. That's right. It was on Thanksgiving and it was on a daily mass. I looked across the church and my father's prayer partner from like when I was really little was at the church. And at one point he was even my spiritual director. I love seeing him at mass. I feel like he's just such a good man. He really brings something so special. And he loves Jesus. And it always reminds me of my dad when I see him. So I was really happy to see him. And Marissa noticed him as well.
Yeah, I notice him often at mass, and I met him years and years and years ago. And about a week or two ago, I saw him at mass, and I remember him looking at me, and I remember, like, I know who he is. I'm not sure if he knows who I am, and I just remember feeling, like, really seen by him in that moment. And then when we saw him at mass on Thanksgiving, I just looked at him and just was like, oh, he's just such a beautiful man. And by the end of mass, he obviously noticed us too, because he came over to talk with us, and he's a listener of the podcast. But it was like this like moment of like, oh my God, we're so happy to see you. And he was so happy to see us. Just his words of encouragement were nothing like I've ever heard before. And they were true.
Yeah. I didn't see him like before, but when he just stand up there and was talking to us, I was like feeling that I knew him. Mm-hmm. I knew him. And we were seen by him, but in a way that I couldn't, that if I just try to describe it, I'm going to be like minimizing what he did. But he was actually not him who said about it. It was like, I don't know, but I felt like it was Jesus. Jesus was inside of him. Like, yeah. It has been the most closer situation that I've been to Jesus for me, the closest one when I was feeling him.
Feeling that presence. Yeah. It was his, he was looking directly at each of us, like, and just like having words for each one of us. He had been listening to the podcast, so he had like different thoughts and ideas for each one of us. But it did remind me of like when we spoke a couple of weeks ago about being seen, mm-hmm. and how Father Glenn, our friend from the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, who would come over. My whole family always loved it when he came to visit because of his ability to see you and to look at you and to just like let you know that where you are, who you are, how you are matters. And I feel like we actually experienced that firsthand when Mike came over and just started talking to us. And I really just was like looking at him and I'm like, he reminds me so much of my dad. And I just was like, can you say a blessing over us? Can you say a prayer over us? And he was like, okay. And that's he just right. did.
Yeah. Wow. That prayer was.
And he prayed for James too. Even mm-hmm. he was like, James isn't with you guys right now. He's mm-hmm. like, but he really had, it was like he made sure that every single one of us was seen. He was saying that we were this blessing to him. But really, mm-hmm. Mike, you were the blessing to us that day.
You yes. are our miracle.
Absolutely. I think something we might not share all the time on the podcast is that sometimes we hear our own lies and our own fear when we're creating these podcasts, and we're, you know, maybe, oh, no one wants to hear what you have to say, or, you know, it's not easy to sit up here with the microphones and share this with all of you. It's very spiritually driven, and it's also one of the most amazing things I have ever done. But his words of encouragement negated everything that I might be afraid of mm-hmm. when I get up here or sit here and record the podcast. One of my favorite parts was when he had us all join hands.
Yeah.
And he just spoke of the unity of the Holy Spirit like flowing through all of us. And I just, after he did that, he looked us in the eyes. I mean, really looked us in the eyes and said, I love you, Marissa. Mm-hmm. I love you, Janine. I love you, Yvette. And it wasn't fake.
No.
It was real and it was true. Mm-hmm. And he meant it.
Yeah.
Genuine.
It was genuine. Yes. Yeah. It was like Jesus.
Yeah. And when he said, he knows you and he knows your heart. Yes. I was like, wow.
He said it. He said he knows you and he knows your heart and he sees you.
Yeah.
And it was just such a moment of like the three of us. And then he was like, see you later. And the three of us were like, whoa.
What like, just happened?
It was.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah. And we are so much gratitude. Yeah.
And something so happened to me that when he was saying, I love you, Marisa, I love you, Janine, I was the last one. And I was like, not expecting that. I love you, because it was the first time that he saw me. And he did it. He said, looking in the eyes, he said, Yvette, like, I love you, Yvette. And then I figured out that's what happens to us with Jesus a little bit. Like, we are not expecting that I love you. Mm-hmm. Because we are not expecting that he knows us or he sees us or that if we make mistakes or sometimes we just fall in seams or whatever, that we are not expecting that just genuine I love you. But it is. And I didn't expect at that moment, and it happened too. He just loved me for who I was, you know?
Yeah. It was so beautiful, and we obviously still have so much gratitude for it. Yeah. So thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
You are a tiny miracle of the week.
Tiny cute.
Yeah. All right, so one more episode to go in our Advent series. Be a fun one on Christmas.
Put joy in Christmas.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
We encourage you to keep listening to this podcast, and
we won't be perfect. We promise you that. Yeah.
And we just want to let you know that you are welcome here in your imperfections and in your inability to maybe feel like you deserve love. You're just welcome. Everyone, anywhere, any place.
Welcome home, people.
Welcome home.